Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Go, baby. Come on, man. One more time just for Friday. That's all the young Zell we getting today. That's why we only got one verse yesterday, man.
Let's go ahead and crack this open. It's a soda, too, by the way. I'm not drinking it.
I don't think anyone thought you were drinking anything other than a soda, but that's good. Well, first of all, we welcome you in here to the Friday, March 21st edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
The worst slums of Sacramento have reared their ugly head once again as the Kings' inconsistency continues here into the final stretch of the season. As they blow a 19-point lead and lose to Chicago 128-116.
Wow. That was disappointing.
That sucked. Even as you feel like, all right, you hit 11 threes in the first quarter.
Can I pause you right there?
Yeah.
Just for a quick second. Because I think of you all the time in this situation now. And they hit 11 threes in the first quarter, and they were up
11.
What's a good number? Because I think about you all the time when these things happen. These teams are on fire. They hit 10 threes in the first quarter, and they're up 6. Mm. And Damien is my ear like, it's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
What would, because 11 felt like a better number than 6, but what's a good number? Is it 17?
No, I feel like if you're like, that's a hot start.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem. I thought a double digit lead at that point was fine.
I wasn't comfortable.
Oh, no, I don't know where the
number is though. That's what I was trying to figure out. Cause I think about you every time somebody's hot and the lead isn't 25.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, all right, well, what would make me comfortable? I know 11 didn't make me comfortable yet.
Well, I think the weird thing, like the anomaly of that was, it was, let me pull up the box score so I don't mess this up. Because it was, I think it was 11 made threes and 12 made field goals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think
they only had one in the paint.
Yeah, so
one it, inside.
Yeah,
the
so like 11. That's 33 of the 39 points. Mm-hmm. That I think was kind of the anomaly. So it was kind of like, all right, this. If nothing else, the game's weird. Mm-hmm. It's not. Oh, they're not going to be able to hold on to this, or oh, this isn't good enough. It was like, okay, this is kind of a weird start. That's going to cool off, but they'll get going elsewhere. Like, they're not going to hit, you know, they're not going to hit 44 threes. I don't even think they're going to hit, you know, 30. It will simmer down. But if you, they hit like four the rest of the game.
Bro,
that's what I wasn't thinking after the first quarter. And it was just kind of a, I thought that the half was okay. Like, I didn't think it was great, but I thought they're in the driver's seat. That's enough for me. It's the second night of it. Both teams are on second night of a back-to-back. You're at home. You're going into the second half up. I'm perfectly comfortable with where you are. I'm the dumbass. Because it should have been anything but. And Coby White, and I guess the legend that is now Kevin Huerter, lit the Sacramento Kings up in the second half. And the Bulls as a whole lit the Sacramento Kings up as the second half. 73-52. In the final two quarters, and we all knew this was possible, and that's what it was.
Like, that was frustrating.
Everyone hoped for a 1-1 split going into that back-to-back. But as we said yesterday, when you beat Cleveland, the dynamics of your thought process change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you beat the best team in the league. You're playing a team that is under 500, that is also coming in on the second night of a back-to-back. All of the built-in excuses are there for them. And when push came to shove, in the final, 24 minutes of that game, they beat you.
They got you. And I'm glad you said it like that, because, you know, Malik is my guy. Ain't no ill will towards Malik. And I don't even think he believes when he says it. But I'm tired of we let our foot off the gas. That's not what happened. I'm not buying that no more. You didn't let your foot off the gas. You just got beat. You just lost. They turned it up a notch, and you couldn't keep up. And I don't even know if he really, like, pays attention when he says that, and other people say that too. Like, that's not – you ain't take your foot off the gas. I don't know why that bothered me so much yesterday, but we heard that, and people regurgitated, like, well, they let their foot up. No, they didn't.
It's a –
They let their foot off the gas. They just got beat. Chicago turned up. Coby White turned up, and they couldn't answer it.
I think it's easier. Like, I've wondered this with fans and media in the past, even very – as recently as our conversation with Matt George yesterday. I wonder if sometimes it's easier for people to say, like, if you say you take your foot off the gas, that's essentially talking about effort, right? I have a really difficult time. For those who remember the Pacers game, that was effort. Mm-hmm. Like, we witnessed that live in person. You didn't have to witness in person. You could have seen it on television. Mm-hmm. You could go watch it today, and you can see there was no effort from that team. Like, they did not enter that game with any thought of, they just took the floor in uniforms. I don't think that happens regularly. As many times as people use the word effort, I don't think that happens very often.
Could taking your foot off the gas just mean they got comfortable and that let the Bulls back into the game?
I don't even know that that's real. I'm kind of with Kenny. Like, you took your foot off the gas. Like, what does that mean? You stopped caring? Well, like, no, I think, but my point was, and I'll let you finish. My point was, it's easier to question effort. It's easier to say you're taking your foot off the gas than say this team lacks talent, or in last night's case, they just beat our ass.
They just got them.
They hit shots that we didn't. We didn't execute the way we were supposed to. We didn't do things that wasn't taking our foot off the gas. It was just that we just didn't do our jobs well.
Simple as that. And Coby White turned up, and they couldn't turn up to the level that he did. That's, to me, that's what happened. But what you think, Jesse? What'd you say?
Well, no, I don't think they stopped showing effort, but like Malik talked about it, like they stopped attacking. Like they just got comfortable. Like you're comfortable in your ways, and I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt because how many times have we talked about that the last couple of years? Like it's been a topic all season long. It's been a topic since last season. I'm not saying that they quit or anything like that, but yeah, this team has been known to get comfortable at times.
That's why I don't believe that. Because like if you're, they always, how many times do they say that when they lose a lead? So you're aware of it.
That's who and you
I don't
are
think,
though then.
I don't think, yeah, or maybe you're just not good enough. Maybe when people elevate their game, you're not always able to match that.
That could be. Like to me, like this team is painfully average. They're not a good basketball team. They're not a bad basketball team. They're just average. They might get the Cavs. They might lose to the Bulls. It's just you just don't know what you're going to get.
And then here's the other thing. Dr. David says, then they're not mentally tough. Like, I don't know why we always got to go to the drastics, man. Like, it's just Kobe White and those boys stepped up. The Kings were giving effort. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't match him bucket for bucket. I know we got 4 hours and we talk about this stuff, so I'm not trying to like kill stuff, but that's why they play. Sometimes those guys step up and they didn't step up to the plate. There was a moment in the second quarter when after they had hit all those threes and then they took maybe three or four of them, and I was like, all right, you're getting a little 2-3 happy here.
Mm-hmm.
And the next four possessions, they attacked the basket. Doug probably said it. The players probably said it. All right, let's try and get to it. They're focused. They know what's going on. They're aware of it. Kobe White and those guys stepped their game up in the second half, and the Kings couldn't match it. They weren't being told anything different. They weren't being warned, hey, lead's down to five. It's okay to like just still be cool. No, they were telling them, hey, pick it up. Like they're pushing now. What are you going to do? They pushed and they executed better. Doesn't mean they're mentally weak. Doesn't mean they took their foot off the gas or they're soft or anything else like that. Like they got beat yesterday. They got beat.
Are they better than the Bulls?
I don't think the Bulls are a terrible team. I think the Bulls don't play defense, but they...
The Bulls aren't a good team, though. We can't call them a good team. They're in the
final. No. I'm not calling them a good team, but I don't... I think people look at the Bulls like they look at the Wizards or something like
that. Oh, I want to do
that. The Bulls are better than that. The reason why the Bulls don't win is because they don't defend. They have high-level scoring. High-level scoring. And if you're not buttoned up in what you're doing, they can get you. They can get you. If you are, you should be able to suffocate them. You know what I mean? And one of the frustrations that I had with the Kings yesterday was settling for threes, not taking advantage of the fact that the Bulls don't play defense and staying on their constant attack, mid-range shots, things of that nature. I thought that.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is?
With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It was a fail on their part yesterday, strategically.
I see a lot of criticism of Doug Christie in the chat. I'll be interested for some of you guys to elaborate on that. As a matter of fact, we'll open up the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Everyone's going to have an opinion on last night's game. Of course, the Kings lose to the Chicago Bulls, 128-116. The last game that they're going to be favored in until they face Portland at the very end of this seven-game homestand. Of course, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Thunder are next on the list for Sacramento, and that's three games in short order. That's a Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday affair before Portland comes into town to close out this seven-game road trip. So we'll talk about all of this. As I said, we'll open up the phone lines for you. You can let us know what you think, 916-909-1320. We're going to have some fun today regardless of what the Sacramento Kings do. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, TC, going to get us started as we keep our eyes on the NCAA tournament. Day number two unfolding here. You got the men's tournament on. I know obviously the women's tournament starts today. Is multi-game coverage on for the women's tournament yet?
Because
we got a trash-ass slot tonight.
They should be. I don't
we
know
got, if they're all for those who ESPN. For those who want to watch D'Lo and KC's team, both of us, they're on goddamn ESPNU tonight.
Ooh.
What a joke. Let's get TC in here. 916-909-1320. What's up, TC?
Hey, man. What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, my guy?
Oh, man. Just frustrated with that Bulls win last night, bro. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm not going to go too up and down. Like, but what Stephen Brown was saying, Kenny, is kind of right. Both can be true, bro. This team can be mentally weak, right? But also, like, just not hitting shots. You get me? So it's like it can't be like one or the other. Both to me. It's possible. Like what Malik said last night, that's my dog. But he's like, oh, man, we just let go of the ropes and we thought we had it. Well, bro, we can't keep doing that, dude. Like, how many times are we going to keep going through that? Like, y'all on the court. If we ain't even on the court and we talking about, like, bro, why we got to keep doing that? Y'all on the court, dog. How y'all keep doing that? So both can be true, Kenny, bro. Like, the team is mentally weak and then things happen. Sometimes they don't hit shots and runs happen and you lose the game, bro. But that mentally toughness, that's what Stephen Brown is talking about, bro, with the whole, hey, man, we just let go of the ropes, man. We can't really do that. Yeah, like, come on, bro. We can't keep hearing that, dog. That's all I got, man.
TC, before you go, I just want to ask you a question. Man, what makes you say they're mentally weak?
Bro, look what that man told you. Man, we just let go of the ropes, bro. We was winning that game the whole game. Who ain't going to stop Kobe White? Then you get up here talking about, oh, man, we just let go of the ropes, man. It was one of them ones, man. Dudes just, you know, kind of lay low. We start sitting back drinking Gatorade and let the lead slip. That's how, like, they talking, bro. So, to me, that's mentally weak. You supposed to be, when you see a lead slipping, you supposed to boss up and say, no, bro, this is it. We finna win. Timeout, Dubs, or something. Listen, we ain't getting down like that. That's what I mean by mentally weak. Ah, oh, man, we just let the ropes go and it happened like that. You a hooper, Kenny. You know that, bro.
Yeah, and I know it's not that simple, TC. You don't have a lead and just say, oh, we're not going to let it happen today. Sometimes you lose. Sometimes you blow leads. Every team in this that's ever played basketball, good teams, bad teams, mediocre teams, they've all blown leads. It doesn't mean they're all mentally weak. And you can't just say, sometimes, you can't just say, we ain't losing today. That's cute. That's a nice little, oh, he looked at those guys and said, we ain't losing today, and that's why they won. That's cute. That's not reality a lot of the times.
If they playing off of, like,
can I China, before that point's lost, can I just piggyback just one thing, Jesse? We'll point out it's not that way when it's the other way around either.
Mm.
The other night, it's not like DeMar DeRozan looked at the Cleveland Cavaliers and said, we're not losing tonight. No, he hit his goddamn shots. And more importantly, they got the one stop they needed to win. That was it. DeMar hit his shots. Malik hit his shots. We ain't losing today. It's not true either way.
Look, see,
you execute at a high level. That's what DeMar and Malik did the night before. That's what Devin Carter, that's what the Kings defense did the night before. It's what Kobe White, Kevin Huerter, and those guys did last night, and the Kings did not do.
To your point, my bad, Jesse, but to your point, I'll even go, this is some of the stuff I'll be talking about. Did the Kings lock up the other night against Cleveland?
They got one stop.
They got one stop.
Yeah,
but oh man, Devin Carter, that'll show you right there.
Yeah,
when
he
they
played
did,
well. Those guys,
bro,
played well.
Yeah.
It boiled down to a single possession.
They got
the stop.
They were trading buckets for like 3 minutes.
Cleveland couldn't get it. The point is, Cleveland couldn't do it.
Right.
Cleveland couldn't get the stop. The Kings did. It's nothing to apologize for. But we use these terms that, like, I think we believe are reality. Jesse, go ahead.
So my thing, like, if they weren't, I don't believe they're mentally weak or anything, but like going off the Chatty House and TC's call, like if they weren't mentally weak, so they're, where are they in the standings then? What is that doing for wins and losses? Like this team is a night, like Sekiran DeBagley in the Chatty House says, it's not a talent issue. It might just be like they're the
says
ninth
who?
Seed.
Not a talent issue.
Yeah, like they're the ninth seed. Like this is what it is.
Sekiran DeBagley, you got your nerve. You've been talking for an entire year about how imbalanced this roster is. Now all of a sudden they lose a game and it's not a talent issue?
I don't think it's like, oh, these guys just don't have it, or just like, it's just they're not good enough. That's what it comes down to. They're not good enough. They are the 19. They're a play-in team. They're a back-in play-in team. That's what it is.
We evaluate this team on a night-to-night basis. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the job done against Chicago. The end. Look, we're going to fill the next 3.5 hours, but that's the story. Mm-hmm. Does that mean they can't beat Milwaukee? Absolutely not. Does it mean that they can't beat Oklahoma City or Boston? No, it doesn't. But what it means is you can't take the Chicago game and decide what's going to happen in the Milwaukee game. Mm-hmm. Just like you can't take, and we all said this yesterday, every single one of us said the same thing. You can't take what happened last night and transfer it over to tonight. Just like the way that they beat Memphis was not the same way that they beat Cleveland. Mm-hmm. But we did say you're going to have to take some of those characteristics. You're going to have to take some of those things that you did, and you're going to have to carry them over to Cleveland. You were able to do that. Now, the same was true last night. You needed to take some of the things you did with Cleveland and move them over to the Chicago game. It felt like you were able to do that. Okay, the shooting component is there. You gave up 28. That's not the end of the world. 28 or 29, I can't remember the first quarter. That's not the end of the world, but you hit those shots. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take that. How does this play out the rest of the way? They hit four more threes the rest of the game. Four. I think two of them were in the second quarter.
Yeah, probably.
Which means you hit two in the second half.
Right.
Man.
And you're not going to win that way. Another, the thing that somebody else will say is, well, the shots aren't falling. You got to take it to the basket. Like, yeah, I understand that. But sometimes you got to open shots. And you've got it. You can't just, shots aren't falling, we're just going to go to the basket and never shoot no more threes, even if they're open. Like, that don't work either. You got to make some threes. That's especially when you have a situation where you're playing Valanciunas less because it's a matchup problem. You don't have any Sabonis. So you don't really have a whole lot of inside presence. You're going to have to hit some threes. They didn't hit them yesterday. They didn't hit them. And the other thing that I look at and I go about some things, and when you talk about is this team mentally weak and all this other, let's be clear, you can feel however you want about this team. I don't really care. Like, I got my opinion. You have your opinion. Nobody's here to say one is better or more right than the other. So if you want to call in and say the team is mentally weak or put in the chatty house, that's fine. It's cool. But how many times, this doesn't mean that they're good or bad or nothing like that. How many times has that happened this year? What we saw last night. They get up by 20 and they just blow the lead.
I don't know.
This it's might happened. Be the only time this year.
I can't. It happened think of, a lot last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how many times it's happened this year.
I don't think it's any more than 3 times. So, and this is where I go about things. And this, to your point, people go game to game and have these sweeping proclamations on this team from game to game. I feel like I'm looking a little bit more at the sum of what they've shown us, the body of work. Yeah, they had a 20-point lead, basically, blew it. You hate to see that happen. That's not anything you want. That's not indicative of what they've done typically this year when they've got up by. Usually when they've gotten up by that much, they've closed it out. So they mess it up one time. I'm not going to say, oh, they're just incapable. All right, come on, man.
Well,
incapable of holding on to that lead on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
So, like I said, you said it perfectly.
It might not even be the big league part that's frustrating people. I mean, if that's always going to play a factor when you're up by a certain number, and I think that number is once you start approaching 20. Mm-hmm. That's I think it was 19 last night. I think that was the peak. Yeah. And I think there is a certain, you know, I think it might boil down less to that specific number and more to Kings couldn't close out a team that we don't feel is as good as us. Mm-hmm. Like they couldn't get the job done against an 10-11 game under 500 team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it might less be about the 19-point lead and more about that. It's maybe less about the 19-point lead and that and more about the euphoria of the night before.
Mm-hmm.
You beat the best team in the league. That's 2 wins in a row. You started this brutal home standoff with 2 wins and got to the team you're favored against and lost.
Yeah. And just in a complete missed opportunity. You know what I mean? Like you had an opportunity to set yourself up on a very, very tough home stand. And you blew it. You missed it. You know what I mean? And that's frustrating. I understand the frustration. I'm frustrated last night and this morning about that particular game and missing that opportunity. So I get all of that. But I agree with what you said earlier is this game, this team is just kind of game to game. Like, you don't know what you're going to get from them from game to game as far as the outcome. I think... And I still stand. I think you know what you're going to get as far as effort. Like, they're going to compete. But execution, that's a whole different can of worms. Like, you don't know what you're getting execution-wise from game to game with this time. Hell, last night it was half to half. You didn't know what you were getting execution-wise.
Yeah. They're literally just a 500 basketball team. Mm-hmm. They're not going to probably go too forward in any way. They're not going to go too backward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what about those who use the Doug Christie grading scale? They're not a 500 team under Doug Christie.
That's fair too.
And I swear to you, both of you, I'm not making a statement in that. I'm genuinely asking a question. This team on the year is 35-34. To Jesse's point, this is a 500 basketball team with Milwaukee, Boston, and Oklahoma City coming to town. Hell, I'm going to throw Portland in there because if memory serves, Portland beat Sacramento's ass.
They did.
That's what's ahead. But we have, with the home record, with, I think, overall evaluation, we have used the Doug Christie grading scale. Mm-hmm. Doug Christie has not been the coach for 69 games nice. He's been the coach for, what is it, like 38? Yeah. Okay. So which is it? it's a 500 basketball team, or you say the record
five.
Every day, and
I think
try
they're five
to,
over now. I think they're 22-16.
Is that close enough to 500 to call them a 500? But like, what's where are like
they're an average basketball team? I'll say that they're an average basketball team right now. Whether it's with Doug Christie or whoever, they're an average basketball team right now.
And that's fair. I use the
you call it 500. Like, to me, they're average. They're not good. They're not bad. They're just average. They're going to show up against the Cavs, and like I said, they'll lose to the Bulls. They'll probably get one against the Bucks, Celtics, or Thunder, and drop another. Like, they're just average.
I use the Doug Christie system.
Okay.
For this group, for me, that's just fair. Like, I'm not.
Now, to be clear,
had an impact
we're talking
team.
About an evaluation of this team. The record is what it is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what Doug Christie's record is. When the playoffs get here, the Kings are actually the sixth seed because of what they did with Doug Christie. Nope, that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. If you're 500 and you're the 10th seed or the 9th seed, that's life. That's what you are. Mm-hmm. But when we discuss this team, we discuss this team with Doug Christie as the head coach.
I think Doug Christie took him from being bad to average then.
Because
with Mike Brown, they were no good.
That's a fair assessment as well. Coach Fields says, what's their record since the trade? I think they're 10-8 now.
Yeah, 10-8. They were 10-7 yesterday.
Yeah. 10-8 and...
Wait, 10-8? What record is 10-8?
Since the trade deadline.
Oh, okay.
And I think... I mean, everybody deals with stuff, but I think... Man, Sabonis is... How many games has he missed? Probably seven.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I think he's.
I had looked up the number because I was wondering. I know James brought it up. You brought it up too. The All NBA stuff. He's played 58 so far. So we're at 69. So he's missed 14 games on the season.
Mm-hmm. And I remember he missed like three early when.
I'll find the Doug Christie number. Yeah. Just give me a second. Talk amongst yourselves. He's missed the last two. He missed. Wow, I didn't realize he missed that many games with the hamstring. Six, and I'm gonna throw Houston in there because he played 76 seconds in that game. So that's seven. That's nine. He's missed nine of the last 11 games. And then of course he was sick. Versus Detroit. I don't know what you're laughing at.
I don't know either.
The man had a cold. Didn't feel well.
Didn't.
You said he's missed 11 games?
No. He's missed 9 of the last 11.
Okay, I think I got him missing 11 total.
Okay.
So he missed 4-7 without him this year.
Okay. Yeah, I threw in the Houston game. That's probably why there's the extra one. I threw in the Houston one.
I mean, there's, you know, they,
what did you, they, I'm sorry. What did you say the record was?
4-7 in the 11. If you count the Houston game, I guess that makes it 5-7.
Okay. Sorry, Casey.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot of different, factors at play, but at the end of the day, you know, I think we're all in agreement at this point in the season, you got to win those games. You know what I mean? It's like you talked about with the Cleveland game, like you weren't, that was a little different because you weren't expecting to win it. But when you got to a certain point, it's like, oh, yeah, you got to win this one. And that's kind of like what the whole Bulls game was yesterday. And then you add the fact that they went up by 19. You know what I mean? Like you beat the Cavs. Now it's like, oh, man, you mentioned, oh, well, this 1-1 ain't good enough no more. Like it's got to be 2-0. Cool. We all understand that. Then you get in there and you're hitting these threes and you're up 19 and then it just multiplies as far as like the need to win that game. And when it all comes crashing down, that is frustrating to say the least.
Yeah, hitting 11 threes in the first quarter and 15 on the game is tough. Absolutely tough. But that's the way it shook out. Boy. Do we look stupid? Malik Monk scored 34 last night. Mm. 20 of 19.
Mm.
I have to feel like that was in retaliation for what you said.
20 of 19. What's 20?
10 of 19, maybe?
12 of 19, sorry. 12 of 19. 20 of 19 is 12 of 19.
Pretty good.
Put this in the category of he plays well and they lose. I didn't think he put that in the category. I didn't think in the second half. Like, he scored a little bit.
No one was good in the second half.
And he didn't even shoot until, like, the end of the third quarter. I don't know why he was out so long, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. So you're in the I hate Del Christie today camp. Is that what it is?
Nah, not at all. But,
Del Christie.
Oh, my God!
He was out a little longer than I would have liked in that third quarter when the Bulls were making a run. And I just kept looking on the floor. I was like, for a second, because I was doing some other stuff with the kids, I was like, did I miss something? Did he go to the locker room or something like that? Like, there's got to be a reason he's not in the game right now. And no, he just kind of came in later in the third quarter. So I don't know if it would have changed the game, but I do remember he didn't even score until later in that third quarter. After that blazing hot first quarter.
Yeah, just everything was perfectly imbalanced for Sacramento in that second half, particularly that third quarter. As great as the third quarter was the night before, it was the exact opposite last night.
He took his first shot with a minute 26 to go in the third.
He still took his before Zach did.
Oh, wow.
Because I believe me, you, Jesse, Leezy, and Zach took the same amount of shots in the third quarter.
Yeah. Check this out, though, with Malik. He took his first shot in the third quarter with 1:26 to go. He finished 3 of 4 in the quarter.
Wait, say that again?
He took his first shot with a minute 26 to go. He finished the quarter 3 of 4.
Oh, man.
He got him up. He got him up in a minute 26.
It's like he was surprised the quarter was ending. Hey, I got to get my shots up.
He shot at a minute 26, 55 seconds, 32 seconds, and 4 seconds. He got him up. Oh, man. You were talking about Zach LaVine, though, and I don't know what's going on with Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to be first. I just want to be correct. So I'll fall back on the criticism of Zach LaVine and what he's doing because it just doesn't look normal.
Yeah,
it goes back to I always remember Paul George in the bubble,
mm-hmm.
and he was playing bad for 2-3 games or whatever. And then when he shot that one off the side of the backboard, I said, I don't know, man. This isn't him. You know what I'm saying? There's something more at play potentially. Come to find out, he was battling depression. He was going through it in the bubble, outside of basketball. And I don't know. Maybe it's absolutely nothing going on with Zach LaVine, and he's just not having a feel for the game or something like that. But it doesn't look normal. So I want him to
I won't even go that deep. Pause. I'll just say he missed the game before. Mm. I don't think he missed it for no reason. Mm-hmm. So
he said something.
I hope my man's good.
He said, I think Sean Cunningham, they were talking to Zach before he held court because Chicago was in town. And most of the questions were from Chicago people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Sean asked him, he's like, you missed the game yesterday, something. And Zach said, yeah, I'm safe. My family's safe, so it's okay. And I was like, okay.
Well, yeah, and if you...
Safe was an interesting...
If you listen to... it was Malik. If you listen to Malik, Malik was asked about Zach. He said a couple of things. One, I actually think you'll love. But there was another thing is he maybe he wasn't speaking specifically about Zach, and he was speaking about the basketball team. And maybe this was somewhere along the... And he cussed, I remember. But it was somewhere...
You sure, pal?
It was somewhere around, you know, it could have been letting our foot off the gas or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's talking, he's like, yeah, we got to do this. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we're locked in or we're not focused. Or then he says, sometimes there's stuff happening off of the basketball floor and there's stuff happening in life. Mm-hmm. We collectively have to push through that. And he could have been speaking generically, mm-hmm. or it could all tie together. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea if something is going on with Zach LaVine, but I'm going to show my brother grace because I don't think he looked his sharpest and most engaged last night. And given the fact he missed the game the night before, I don't think that's coincidental. Yeah. But that's 100% my opinion.
It just doesn't look normal. I mean, he's say what you want about him as a basketball player. He's never not shot the ball.
Yeah.
You know, that's... Mm-hmm. That's abnormal, in my opinion, for him. So,
Malik, though, I did think said something that you would like, and it ties into what you said dating back to his press conference at the beginning of the season, where Malik said something along the lines of, sometimes, you know, Zach needs to get a little, like, uncomfortable. He needs to take shots he might not be comfortable with. And, you know, listening to Malik lay this out, I thought about what you said and thought about, like, maybe, you know, he's looking for the perfect shot every time. And if it's not there, he's going to defer to the other talent on the roster. And I think Malik was saying, yeah, don't do that. You're a scorer. That's what you do. The shot doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be a super high percentage shot. You're a scorer. You got it. We trust you just like you trust us.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting given the layout you gave us a couple of days ago.
There were at least two instances in the fourth quarter where he actually shot the ball more than any time, where he had the ball. And this is where I don't subscribe necessarily to the theory that – and we'll talk to James Hamm later about it. It's like they just got him standing in the corner. There was two instances specifically where he had the ball, and whether he was driving or it was a catch and shoot, I said, shoot the ball. Shoot it. You have it. Shoot the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's and if we sit down and watch the game, I bet we can find more instances like that where it's not, oh, they just got him standing in the corner and nobody's – you know, they're being selfish and taking one-on-one. Like, no, he has the ball a number of different times with in positions to shoot the rock, and he's not doing it. And I don't know why that is, but I know those opportunities. I'm looking at it. I'm watching it. You have the opportunity to shoot it. You've got the ball, and he's not doing it. So...
We'll come back. We'll talk more about the Kings. We'll talk about some things that happened in the NBA. We'll talk to you. Eddie Gonzalez is here. He is our lone guest today. The insiders dumped us. Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River. We'll get to the phones. It's Leezy Friday.
Hey.
It's Leezy Friday. Leezy, come hang out with us. We'll talk Kings basketball. He was in the building last night filming content.
There we go.
Stilo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. My man Leezy stepping in here, takes the phone calls with us here. Elk Grove Kid Talk Line 916-909-1320. Maddie, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing, man?
We good, man. How you doing, bro?
I'm blessed, bro. I'm blessed. I just want to pose a hypothetical kind of future scenario at you guys. So we all pretty much agree that after this season, a new front office should be taking over the Kings, right? But I think over the years, we've kind of known that the ownership group doesn't really want to commit to a rebuild again. So if they do fire this front office during the offseason, I think any respectable GM is probably going to want to bring in their own coach and most likely, you know, reshape this entire roster and rebuild it the right way through the draft. And that might mean, you know, moving on from a lot of our established stars and, I guess, restocking on draft picks. So I guess my question to you guys is, do you think Vivek will have the patience to bring in someone who's going to want to rebuild and see it through the way OKC did, even though that's going to mean some probably 20 to 25 win seasons?
Yeah. Guys, Maddie, a question real quick.
Yeah.
Maddie, if he went with a rebuild, would you mm-hmm. still Like, would you pay season ticket prices? Would you pay top dollar that's going on right now to go to these games?
Yeah, probably not.
Definitely. So there you go.
I think that factors into it.
Please stop using OKC as the example for this.
Yeah. There's teams out there that tank and they try to rebuild and they're not getting it right. Just, like, what is Utah doing? They've been tanking for like 2 years now. Who they got?
Yeah, I mean, they're early in their process. Maybe they feel good about where they're at. Mm-hmm. I just the idea that everyone, you got to be like Oklahoma City. Great. Do you have Paul George? Do you have Russell Westbrook? Because that helped. That really aided it. Do you have the Los Angeles Clippers held hostage?
Yeah. Yeah, do you have the
pieces? By doing this Paul George trade to acquire a talent the likes of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Because if the Kings have that, hey, by all means, let's be Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
If they don't, and I think we're all in agreement, they do not.
No.
Let's stop using Oklahoma City as the barometer for this.
Yeah. Is rebuild just code for tank now, too? Or is that just how you rebuild in the NBA, by just tanking?
Yeah, you gotta lose and get your picks. Or get other people's picks.
I guess I'm more buy into the, like, hiring the right guy. Like, GMs, like I said, like, Dame Lillard was, what, the sixth pick, seventh pick? Like...
Yeah, I mean,
there's ways to go about it, I feel, differently than just tanking everything.
Yeah, like, pick the right person.
Yeah,
basically.
What was that? Like, you can pick the right person anywhere. We talk about the exercise we did when the show first started, mm-hmm. about the 24 all-stars in the league and how they came from everywhere in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's not to say that having a top three pick is a bad, like, you absolutely can find a franchise player right there, but you can find a franchise player at 14. Mm-hmm. You can find a franchise player. The best player in the world was a second rounder,
Jokic,
or something like that.
Yeah.
You just got to be good at what you do. You know what I mean? You got to be good. You got to be. There's a little bit of luck involved.
You got to be lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's definitely about luck, and you have to have the right person there making the decisions. Because you could look at the 76ers and be like, oh, they got Joel Embiid, blah blah. Yeah, they also kind of missed on Ben Simmons. Now looking at it, Fultz struggled. Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor. Like, you can make those picks, but you still got to pick the right people, and you have to have the right person in place, a real architect that can put the team together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You talk about OKC. Jalen Williams, the 16th pick.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's an all-star. Mm-hmm. So they got Chet too. I mean, they did a situation where they could get so many picks and were just acquiring assets for so long that they had their pick of the litter. Sam Presti.
They also have one of the great modern era general managers who seems to know the draft as well as anyone in the league ever has.
And he's top flight. And then the reason why I asked Matty that question is that's another factor. If prices stayed the same, would you still go to the games? He honestly said no.
Yeah, like, and prices went up.
Right.
That is a shoe, right? Prices went up for next year.
So if people would be complaining about that, not going to the game, selling their tickets, if Vivek was like, we're just going to do a rebuild, he may have to do it anyway. But that's a factor. When you talk about, will Vivek sign off on a rebuild? If you're telling him, like, man, you gotta like not be good for a little while, and you probably gotta, you're not gonna make, I'm just throwing out a number, you're gonna make $100 million less next year,
yeah,
or over the course of this time, and you're not gonna be good.
Nobody's agreeing to that. Yeah,
he may or may not. But I'm just saying that's a factor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a factor.
Philly tanked and fired three different GMs in the process of all that, like Elton Brand. Yeah. Daryl Morey's going to get fired eventually, and then I forget who was before Elton Brand.
Sam Hickey or whatever?
Yeah, it's just like...
he got himself fired with his burner.
You can tank. All they did was chase their tail. Like, it literally just comes down to getting the right guys and making the right decisions. Like, I don't think you need to tank. You don't need to go and just dump everything here.
Well, here's a... Do you trust the owner?
A lot of people
don't. You don't have a choice. He's not going anywhere. Yeah,
he's not...
No, you have a choice whether you trust him or not. Like, I could, like...
I hope he hires the right guy next.
Well, that's the other hard part about it, too. Let's say they do start over and you bring in someone else who's going to want that job. They have to have that trust with Vivek, as you mentioned.
It feels like Vivek constantly hedges his bet.
Yeah.
Whether it, like... What the hell is Vlade around for? What is his job? Does he have one? Is he just Vivek's homie? Is Vivek completely unaware of what the perspective of that looks like, or what that looks like?
Does he still have influence on decisions? He may not be the GM, but is he still like, hey, maybe you should do this or that?
It feels like there's always someone lurking around. Mm-hmm. It was Vlade to begin with. Mm-hmm. Then it was Joe Dumars. Now it appears it's Vlade again. Then there was this hire of Monty and Wes, guys who were competing for the same job.
Yeah. I don't.
All right, man.
You said it perfectly. He's always hedging his bet. And I don't know how to run an NBA team, but that's bare basics to me. Like some of the mistakes that he makes and some of the bad optics that he creates, or structural problem, like hierarchy problems within the wall. These are bare basics. These are elementary things that you just don't do. And he does them constantly.
And I think that's the thing that frustrates me about him is I don't know how my man made his hundreds of millions or billions of dollars or whatever he's worth. I'm going to guess, like most billionaires, it wasn't by hedging his bet.
No.
He went all in on something, mm-hmm. and it worked, and it's paid off for him. He won't go all in either direction when it comes to this team.
No. No. And like you're saying, it's true. You got to pick a direction. Do you want to? It seemed when we had Fox and all them, like they didn't make the moves to go all in and get the players that they needed, and so they didn't do that. And then when it's like time to talk about tanking and things like that, they never seemed to want to commit to it. So whenever you're in a chance to win, you don't make the big moves you need to make. And then when you want to tank and do all that, you're hesitant to do it because of money or whatever reasons. You can't ever pick a direction. You're always doing two things. It feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm of the belief, I don't know if I would, like, be all in on a tank.
Mm-hmm.
If I was Vivek or I own a tank, like, it's not appealing at all. Like, that's not, I'd probably, to be honest with you, I'd probably be more like Ishbia. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be willing to spend, right? Like, no, we're just going to spend until we get this right. You know, yeah, maybe we trade and do some things, but I need at least one bona fide star here at all times.
Yeah.
You know, and if that means or borderline type of star here at all times. So if I trade, you know, Sabonis, mm-hmm. I'm not trading him for this hypothetical 2026 unprotected first rounder. Like, no, give me your all-star or borderline all-star. Like, because I'm still trying to win games.
You want someone that can win now, that can make an impact today.
The structure of the salary cap and the roster, that may change and that may do all that, but I'm always trying to win games.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Can I ask a quick hypothetical? So let's say next year you go into the next season with the same GM and the same coach. Do you think the team is different when Doug has a full off season to like get the assistant coaches he wants, or maybe to set the schemes he wants, or maybe even get some of the free agents he wants, if it's still under Doug? Because like D'Lo was saying earlier, yeah, this team's record is whatever, but under Doug, it's been more successful, you know?
I think it is different, but how much different is debatable.
That's the question.
I think they're better, but are they four games better? Like, and what does that do for you? You know what I'm saying? So
I think we like to believe that. I mean, I hate to... Apologies to my guy. I hate to use Antonio Pierce as an example.
Yeah.
But I think it's different. And this is, you have to have, like, it can't be this one foot in, one foot out thing. You have to, as an organization, whether it's a front office, an ownership group, everybody involved, you have to have 100% buy-in on Doug Christie being your guy. And if that means that next year is rocky, it means that next year is rocky. But you have to believe that Doug Christie is your guy. Because if not, if you go into this thing with like one foot in and one foot out, you've already put him at a disadvantage, because there is a scenario where Doug's fixing the plane in the air. He will tell you that any chance he gets. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of Doug Christie, the basketball coach, we've even had the opportunity to see. Mm. He took over.
Yeah.
And
they
almost immediately they traded the league's franchise player, and he had to deal with all of the fallout from that. Then the trade deadline approaches a few weeks later and they make some alterations to the roster there. He immediately has to deal with that, all while trying to continue to dig out of the hole that the previous coach, Doug, And so, okay, here we are. We were able to do that. And now we're trying to land this plane. We're trying to get to the postseason and have an opportunity to compete in the playoffs. This offseason, Doug now has an offseason to think about, how do I set this up? How do I, you know, do I need to adjust the way that I practice? How do I practice? I set up practices during the season, not during training camp. I didn't set up practices with 4 days off or 3 days off like they're inexplicably at the beginning of the year. I didn't do that. So now, like, Doug is essentially a different coach. When you're not the interim head coach and you're the head coach, it's different. And we saw it. I'm not saying the two are the same, but we saw it with Antonio Pierce. Vibes, cigars, we were able to wash off the Josh McDaniel stink. Clearly, there was something with Mike Brown that bothered those players. But now they got Doug. And oh, what a relief it is. Difference being the length of the season. They're going to wind up being damn near what's going to be 51 games together before this is over. Not seven. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit different. But Doug is going to have a lot to figure out this offseason.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.